thing that's happening in the world today, because of all the darkness and the gross darkness that's over the earth and the people of this earth, it's hard to walk in the light. It is. It's difficult. It's easy to give in to the flesh. It's easy to give in to the darkness of this worldly system. It is easy to start acting and talking like them. We complain like them. We murmur like them. We lose hope like them. We just go off on our own ways. But there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end is not a good way. Actually, the Bible says it leads to destruction. Amen? And for us to think that we are beyond the ability to make a mistake, beyond that, oh, I would never do what I want without consulting God first. Yo. I could probably pick yesterday or even this morning. Because whatever you didn't do of faith is called sin. Anybody do anything this morning not of faith? Oh, come on now. Did anybody complain this morning about somebody not doing what they should be doing and what you think they should be doing? Oh, yeah, we go on and on and on. We can go, you know. There's so many rules and regulations and laws in the land. They say that every person breaks at least 3 laws a day that they could be incarcerated for. Every one of us. 3 laws a day, they say. Well, there's so many laws, you don't even know what they are. There's so many laws on the books, you don't have a clue. And once you just step out of line, if they wanted to, and they will, one of these days, they'll use every one of those laws to get you in control. Not because you want to. Because you're no longer under the control of the Spirit, you're now under the control of man. You'll go to a job, and the job will say, listen, I need you to do this. That doesn't look quite honest. That doesn't look right the way it should be. Yeah, but if you like your job, you got to do this. Oh, we say, oh, that not me. When your cupboard's bare and you have no money to live on and you're out there completely all by your lonesome, nobody else with you, it's a little easier to bend to the flesh and to do the will of man instead of your walking by the Spirit. I'm serious. And I say this to you, to have that right heart is to say, I would never do that. It's not bad. But understand the weakness of the flesh. When fear starts hitting you and hitting you hard, it's hard to stay focused on Christ. When things are going and a storm is coming and everything's going wrong around you, it's hard to focus on Him. You got to keep drawing yourself back to Him. You got to keep going, Lord, you're my supplier, not that job. You're the one who guides me and leads me, not these people. But that's easily said when not things aren't tight or pushing you. But once you get into that place, now you have to start now when things aren't that bad. Because when you're in the storm, it's hard to begin the journey. You don't take a rowboat out into the middle of the lake and a storm is already running. You go out when it's nice and peaceful. And you learn how to row the boat. So when the storm comes, at least you already have some knowledge on how to handle it. Yeah, you got to do it with a microphone, though.
So I just got to share it because, I mean, you're like reading my mail from the last few weeks at work. So at work, you know, it doesn't matter where I work, whatever. All companies are like this. They all do it. But at work, they started this thing where they said, hey, let's get our Google reviews way up. Because if we get our Google reviews up, then we'll be one of the first ones that come up when people search insurance companies. So they said, this is how we're going to do it. Whenever you have a call that goes really, really well and they're really happy with our service, then you send them a survey. So this is a full site meeting with our whole Albany operations. So I stood up, all the managers are there, and they're like, any questions? And I'm like, I'm not doing it. And they're like, I'm sorry, what? And I mean, they're asking every single person to do it. You got a goal, you have to do this at least 3 times a day. So they want at least 3 emails sent to the managers proof that you sent these out. And I said, I'm not doing that. And they said, well, why? And I said, because you're telling me to only send it to the people who had good service. That's a false view of our company. So then the people who didn't have good service don't get to give their opinions. And they're like, well, that's the only way we're going to get our ratings up. And I said, well, then count me out. I said, because that's not the way you do things. I said, because if you want a true view of what our company is doing, are we doing a 5-star job or are we not? I said, you can count me out. I'm not doing it. So I was really nervous, and the managers immediately had a meeting, all of them, behind closed doors right after that. They were not happy with me.
Yep.
And they were like, you know, you really should have done that in private. And I'm like, no, it needed to be done out in the open. So I don't know. It must have been a God thing, because usually I just keep my mouth shut and keep my head down and keep going. And they were supposed to make this big thing out of a big full-site meeting the next day and, you know, promote this whole thing. And all of a sudden, the whole thing died. And they said, forget it.
Cool.
Just forget it.
Amen.
And you know what? If we're going to advance as a company, then let it be on the right terms. You know, I'm not going to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So then they just dropped it.
Yeah.
So, well,
Hey, amen. And, well, we can go on and on and on how God takes care of his own, and we're going to look at that. But when you stand for righteousness, that's when you have victory. When you give in to the sly works of the enemy and the sly works of the world, eventually you're going to be overwhelmed by it. Because you give a little bit. The Bible says a little leaven leavens a whole lump. The more you give in to this stuff, the easier it becomes to give in to it. And you keep giving in to it and keep giving in to it. Pretty soon you don't look different than the rest. You don't sound different than the rest. You just look like one of the others. And the world will applaud you and lift you up and hold you as a prime example of a company person that did everything they were asked to do without even considering what God would have you do. And that's what they are. These places are ungodly places. They're not lifting up the name of Jesus. They're not. And honestly, you know, by grace of God and for whatever purpose God has for this, honestly, they probably, you're just a number to most of them. They'll just get rid of you. They don't care. That's why when you make these walks and these stands, you got to know it's God that's doing it. Don't you stand up and just be a rebel and say, oh, I'm not going to do it. No, you have to be led by the Spirit. If you're being led by the Spirit, we're going to see that. Then you're going to see God work in your life that like you've never seen him before. Something happens at that point where all of a sudden they look on the shell one way. But as they consider it, maybe the Spirit of God moved in that place also on them to say, here's an honest person we can trust. And it's better to have an honest person on our payroll than just somebody who follows, you know, they call them a lemming, just follow wherever they lead. But for us, this thing isn't just a Sunday morning, Wednesday night thing. This is life. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. And life doesn't stop when you leave here. I mean, this is the easy place. Life is hard out there. That's where the difficult thing is. Living your life and seeing the life of God working in your life out there. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you're really going to see it. So we want to be led by the Spirit every day. Am I always? No. Sometimes I get led by the flesh. Sometimes I just do things because I just do them because that's what I want to do. Without even consulting God, without thinking about it. Is that a good thing? No. But it does happen. And if it does happen, don't stay there. Recognize what it is. Repent of it and ask God, forgive me. Now that's that. And this is a struggle we have is two people go, and I've heard of this, go way one way and the other go way the other way. Well, being led by the Spirit doesn't mean you have to ask him what color socks to put on this morning. Amen? That's not it. Now, if you're going to wear a pair of light-colored pants and you put a black pair of socks on and you put an orange shirt on and you got a, you know, purple hat, maybe you ought to consider asking the Holy Spirit how to dress. It might not be a bad thing to say, you know what? How do I look, Holy Spirit? And And truth will set you free. Amen. But being realistic about life, when you start walking in the Spirit, the first thing you recognize is what Jesus said, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are being led by the Spirit. So you don't have to fear that fact, well, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to do the wrong. Don't go there. I'm being led by the Spirit. But if I'm being led by the Spirit, then I hear the voice of the Spirit when he says, don't go there. Amen? I know his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The Lord, I know his voice. I don't get it up here. I get it down here. I don't listen for it up here. I listen for it down here. It's a still small voice. It's not loud, but it's very clear. Even in the midst of the storm, because I have trained myself to listen, I can listen in the worst of days and still hear his voice. Amen? The key is, do I obey him or not? Do I obey? Because that's the part that causes us the problem. Well, maybe that's not God. Then if I do this and it doesn't work. Well, if you don't do that, it's not going to work. Amen? But if we're willing to do that, which seems impossible to me for any reason why I would do that in the midst of the battle, it has to be God. Because I wouldn't do that. You understand? I wouldn't do that. Praise God. Go with me to John 14. We're going to start with this scripture. We all know it, but we're going to do it anyways. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He said, I'm on my way out of here, going home to the Father. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to leave you alone. It was wonderful when Jesus walked this earth. He came for a purpose. He fulfilled that purpose at the cross and the resurrection and the ascension. All three were very important. He went back to his Father. Without one, and a lot of people put emphasis on this one at the cross, and then they put the emphasis on his resurrection, then they put the emphasis on his ascension. They all are important. Because if he didn't come up out of the grave, my friends, the cross wouldn't have meant anything, because God wouldn't have accepted his sacrifice. But he did, because he came up out of that grave. And then if he hadn't ascended, then he couldn't go prepare a place for us, because we had no place to go. He said, if I go home to my Father, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where I am, you will be also. I'll come and take you there. So all three are important. Without one of them, we're in trouble. If you don't believe in the cross, none of your sins are dealt with. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you don't believe in the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God. Because all three of those have brought him up out of that grave. And if you don't believe in the ascension, you don't believe in the heaven. Amen? Glory to God. But we believe in all that. All right, let's go on. And I will pray the Father, verse 16 of 14. He will give you another, what do they call it, helper or comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Notice that. He doesn't come and go. He's with you forever. He's not coming and leaving. If anybody leaves, it's usually us. But he doesn't leave. Even if we walk away, he's still with us. Amen? I think it was David who said, where can I go? You're not there. If I go up, you're there. If I go down, you're there. If I go over and hide in a corner, you're there. There's no place you can go. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, he's not going to leave you. Amen? Hallelujah. Now we can choose to walk away from him and his operating in our lives. We can choose to do that, to ignore him. The Bible says that we shouldn't grieve him or quench him. Grieving means, and we talked about this before, when Daniel did his message and he brought out that statement, he said grieving means to cause worry and concern for. And God showed him. He said, that's what he means to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you grieve him, he is concerned for your well-being. because you're doing these things. And he lists the things you're doing. And he said, when you do those things, it's going to cause you harm if you continue to do them. So when you grieve the Holy Spirit, all you're doing is causing him to have a concern for your well-being. Amen? God has a plan for you, and he doesn't want you to deviate from that plan. And when you do those things that he lists in there, in Ephesians 4:30, you can go there and see it. Then in 1 Thessalonians, he talks about don't quench the Holy Spirit. That means the Spirit of God is like a fire in our bones, inside of us. And that fire is consuming the old nature. That's what that old dead wood, that's what's being burned up in us by the Holy Spirit. It's a fire that consumes that whole nature and reveals the true light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in each and every one of us. And that's what he's doing. But what happens is, when he starts consuming the old, we don't like it. So we want to go back. As the nation of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Why? Because they were fearful that they had to die to the old. They were generations that grew up under that old system. Had the other gods. There were gods we could see. They were gods we could touch. They were gods that we could go and offer things to. One of them was a golden calf. So they liked the fact. And a lot of us in the Church of Jesus Christ is the same way. If I can't feel it, if I can't touch it, if I can't see it, I'm not going to believe in it. And I'm not going to follow it. Well, guess what? He's not going to manifest himself just for you. He is who he is. And by the grace of God, at times he does. And understand this also. The Holy Spirit did not come for his own sake. He came for two reasons, really. One, because he was sent. Jesus sent him. The second reason he came was the witness of the truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said when he comes, he's going to testify of me. He will not speak of his own. So the Holy Spirit gets his directions for us from the Father through the Son into us to cause us to walk the path he intended us to walk. Why? So that we can bring glory to his name by having victory over sickness, death, and poverty in this life. God's purpose is that you have a successful life. And success does not mean how much money you got in the bank. Success is never worrying about tomorrow. Because he supplies all my needs. He takes care of everything I have need of. I am not going to worry about sickness and disease. I'm not even going to worry about death because he already made a way for me. You understand? And so what we have to do is we get led by the Spirit. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts working in us to reveal the Jehovah, the one true God, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, Jehovah Sitkanu, my righteousness. All of these things, that's what the Holy Spirit is revealing to me, who he is. And then he says this, this is who he is. Now I'm going to show you and tell you who you are. This is who you are. You're his son. You're his child. He said, you're blessed with believing Abraham. All the blessings that I promised Abraham and gave to him, they all belong to you. Everything is yours. And to prove it, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to make you righteous. Not by your works. Not because you're a good person. Not because you're all beautiful and wonderful and all this stuff. I'm going to make you righteous so that I can pour out my blessings into your life. Because I don't bless just everybody. Now, he says he lets it rain on the just and the unjust. You know what he means by that? It's because the just needed the rain, but it's going to hit the unjust too. So as you go and see the blessings of God, the blessings of God working in your life is going to flow over even onto the non-believer when all of a sudden they see the goodness of God in your life, and they're going to say, what is it? And you say, here. I want to share with you the treasures that I have. Yes. Amen? And that's the way God is working in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is trying to get us into a position so that God can do what he wants to do. And we do all the things we have to do. We work hard. We study hard. Nothing wrong with studying. Nothing wrong with working. All things that need to be done. But then because we study hard and work hard, now we got to play hard. Let me ask you a question. Where do we give time for the Holy Spirit? Where do we give room for him? Because you don't have enough time to play because you work hard. You study hard, whatever it is. And this is how our lives go. And then pretty soon we get to be 70 years old like me. 71, actually. I think it is, isn't it? I forgot. I think it is. 71, I think it is now. All of a sudden your days are gone. You say to yourself, oh, if I only had a few more years so I could serve God. We had 70 of them. You couldn't find time then. What makes you think if you got another 10 or 15, you're going to find time then? Amen? So now's the day. As he says, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Don't wait till tomorrow and put off, well, I'll start following God next week. Don't do that. Because we don't know the day or the hour he's going to call us. Remember the parable with the man with the barns? He was rich and he was making a lot of money and he said, I'm going to go build barns and fill them up. Well, the Lord spoke to him and said, oh, you foolish. This night, you're required. Your soul will be required of you. What's he saying? All your plans. Everything you have planned for. I attest to this, my friends. I had a lot of plans changed in one night. You understand? What do we do? Lord, your will, not my will. And he yanks us and he calls us back. He says, you remember? You had all these wonderful plans. No. I need to be led by the Spirit. Trusting God for every day of my life. Every moment. Because I don't know when the storm's coming. I don't know when that moment comes when he says, today is your day. It's coming to all of us. Some sooner, some later. However it is. But if you're walking by the Spirit, your heart is always saying, Abba, Father. He's my home. He's my life. That's where I live, right up there. I don't live here. I'm here temporarily. The Bible says we're sojourners. We're passers through. We're here as ambassadors for Christ. This is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen? So why do we try to gather everything we can down here to put roots deep into the ground down here when the day comes we're going to be yanked up out of it anyway? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's abiding with us. Being led by the Spirit doesn't always mean that we get to do what we want. But even being led by the Spirit means that we don't always do what seems to be right. Let me explain it to you. Go into Acts 16. Acts 16. You know the scriptures, but I'm always amazed at that men and women who have committed their lives to God, you know, we have a Bible and we have names in it and praise God for all that and it shows us an instruction book and directions. Do you know how many people are in the world today that are walking by the Spirit? I guarantee there's a ton of them. You'll never see and hear. You'll never get a book written about them. You'll never have any accolades from man. They just do what they got to do. They go about their life worshiping and serving God and serving the brethren, just doing what they got to do, being led by the Spirit. No fanfare, no brass bands, nobody standing up saying, oh, look how wonderful you are. They're just doing it. And the day will come and they will reap their rewards. The day will come. But you'll find in these people who are being led by the Spirit the fruit of the Spirit operating in their lives. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, patience, endurance, self-control. These are things that are operating in their life. And because they don't make a lot of noise, they don't demand their own way, they don't beat people up constantly with their words, they just go about their lives, serving God, serving the brethren, just doing the things they should do, with nobody even knowing about them. We go, wow. There's tons of them. Millions of them. They're all over the world. God has a people who's doing His will. They may not do signs and wonders, because that's not really what it's all about. The Bible says you will know them by their fruit, not by the signs and wonders. Why? Because signs and wonders can be a lie. The devil's going to come with signs and wonders, the Antichrist, the beast. They're going to come with lying signs and wonders, the Bible says. So just because you see those things, don't get all uptight about it. Say, oh, Louis must be God. You don't know. But I'll tell you what is of God. The gentleness and the love that people have to share with one another. In Acts 16, look at this. We all agree that Paul was a man of God. Amen? Called of God, sent of God out, ended up going to the Gentiles. Cornelius, remember all that stories? So, Peter went to Cornelius. Excuse me, you're right. You're absolutely right. But he was sent to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are just people without God. Amen? Because the Jews rejected it. He said, okay, I'll take it to the Gentiles. Thank God he did. How many of you know that was part of God's plan too? So don't go picking on the Jews. Yeah. The Bible says in that last days they'll all be saved. So don't. Anyways. Paul was a man of God. Matter of fact, Jesus said, listen, I'm going to send you out there, but I'm going to tell you all the things you're going to suffer for my name's sake. I thought about this when I was thinking of this, and I said, I wonder if I still would have served him if all the things he showed me that I'd have to go through. Somebody asked me once, with all the things you've been through, would you get mad at God? Cancer, heart attack, loss of a son, wife. Would you still serve him if you knew all that ahead of time? I said, I don't know. I can't think of the back and say, yeah, I would. I'd like to say I would, but who knows? But because you go through him doesn't change your walk with him. I remember that time when the disciples were walking with Jesus. And he said to his disciples, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. And it says that many of them departed from him because his sayings were too difficult. He turned to the disciples and he said to Peter, Peter, you're gonna leave me too? Peter said, where are we going to turn? You have the words to life. What else do we have? I mean, of all these things, if he took everything from us, he still is the only way to the Father. The only hope we have is in Christ. And the way, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way we're going to get there is if the Holy Spirit takes us there. For the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says, will quicken your mortal bodies. It's the Spirit of God who's going to raise you up. You understand that? It's true. Hallelujah. Is he important to us? I think so. So anyways, Paul's walking, doing his thing, and he's getting beaten up. He's getting all this stuff happening to him. And then this happens. Verse 6 of 16. Now when they had gone through Phrygia, I guess, and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Being led by the Holy Spirit of God, there's times that you are told, don't tell them. How can that be? We're called to tell everybody. No, you're not. You're called to be led by the Spirit. Amen? Why? The Bible says, don't throw your pearls before swine. They're going to trample them on their foot, and then they're going to tear you apart. So many people get discouraged because nobody wants to hear what they got to say. Well, if you're being led by the Spirit, trust me, God will lead you to the ones to preach to, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he's prepared their hearts. Our problem is we're not being led by the Spirit, so we just walk around throwing our... Hopefully something sticks. It's like spaghetti. You throw it on the wall and see. Oh, good, somebody got saved. Well, 1,000 people. Paul only went and spoke when the Holy Spirit told him to. Is that important? Yeah. Being led by the Spirit is the best thing in the world. Now, how do I know if it's the Spirit? Lord, I'm being led by the Spirit. If you feel this unction in you to share the good news with somebody, share it. If he tells you to go next door and share it. If he tells you to go across the street and share it. But do it as the Holy Spirit leads you to do it. There's some people who will never get saved, and every time you throw your pearls to them, they just... But if the Spirit of God is in you, and you're being led by the Spirit, every time you share the good news with somebody, it's being planted, their seed's being planted. Somebody will come along and water it, and God will get the harvest. But you will, because of our whatever... nature, whatever, you get rejected enough, you'll stop going. Been there. You get rejected enough, you'll stop. I am quick to share the good news if I'm led by the Spirit to share the good news. You notice me. If I'm not sharing the good news, I'm usually quiet. I have a lot to say. That's just who I am. But if I get an opening... I've done it with truck drivers sitting in the parking lot right here. Came here to fill our gas up, and he wanted to sit in the shade for a while. Got to stand out there and talk to him. For about 45 minutes, I talked to him about Jesus. How did I talk to him and approach him? The Holy Spirit led me to do it, and I talked to him about driving a truck and doing what he's doing. How he's filling that tank up with gas, something you can't see or feel. Yet it produces power. Come on now. It's easy to share the good news. You're being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? It's easy. It becomes difficult when we think we're forced to do something we don't want to do. Hallelujah. We have to understand that the Holy Spirit was given to us in order, and I said this earlier, that the blessings of Abraham can come into our lives. Go in Galatians 3 with me. We'll look that quick. I want to take you back to something. Because it's not only being led by the Spirit to speak the Word of God and to be a witness, but the Holy Spirit was given to us so that we can have the godly life and the good life that God intended for us down here. How many know that when God created the heavens and the earth and he made the garden and he put man in there and then he created woman from man and put him in the garden? That was a good place. It had no fears, no lack of anything. The weather was perfect year-round. There weren't storms. There wasn't ice to worry about driving on. None of that stuff. It was perfect. I mean, you know, that's the way God wants your life to be. Without fear. Without the cares of this world. Amen? He doesn't want you to be afraid of sickness and disease and death. None of that. He doesn't want you caught up in that stuff. He actually intended you to live a good life down here. Your opposition and your persecution comes from your witness. It shouldn't become because there's a lack from this worldly system. Amen? God, Jesus proved it. Look, he said, listen, when the church began, he knew there was going to be 3,000 souls saved in one day. And as soon as they got saved and rejected the old ways of doing things, he knew that families were going to reject them, businesses were going to fire them, people were going to be kicked out of their homes. So God says, I'm going to send among them people with lands. And they'll sell the land and provide for the needs of the people. How many of you know God doesn't have a printing press up in heaven printing out $20 bills to drop on you? That ain't the way he works. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. I'm going to show you in a few minutes how that works. But it's an amazing fact that when we start walking by the Spirit, God opens up things that we cannot see at the moment. And matter of fact, there are things in your life that he has already showed you to prepare you for your future. Amen? He's already prepared your future for you. Now, I'm not talking about the eternity when you get up there. I'm talking about while you're down here. Amen? This will blow you away. It's what I'm going to show you in a minute. So I want you to understand something, that God has a plan for your life. God is not going to supernaturally give you a car. He's going to move on the heart of somebody, and they'll give you a car. You understand what I'm saying? Well, that's supernatural. No, when they're walking by the Spirit, it's not super, it's natural. For those who walk by the Spirit, it's natural to be in the Spirit. Amen? That's a natural way of living, being walking by the Spirit, if you're walking by the Spirit on a continual basis. That's your everyday. That's not something, oh, okay, give a car away. That's all right. Why would you do that? Because God's always provided for you a car. So you know if you're giving that car away, he's got another one for you. You understand? There's always something there God's got for you. I'm not going to go in, how do I know it's God? If you're walking by the Spirit, you know it's God. Amen? So God doesn't naturally up there having a Ford company up in heaven building Fords to fill the needs of his people down here. Well, Chevys, Fords, Cadillacs, whatever you want to call them, whatever it is. No, he's going to move on the heart of people. I'm going to tell you what, if God needs you promoted in your job, God can move on the heart of that person to promote you, even above others more qualified than you. God will put you in a position where he needs you to be. How do I know that? How about Moses? God put Moses in position for his future. Come on. He was preparing him. And because he grew up in the Pharaoh's home where he learned leadership skills, he was able to lead when the time was right. So, don't despise small beginnings because it leads to greater works of God. Amen? So as you get to walking by the Spirit and you're being led by the Spirit, all of a sudden you say, well, I don't know why God's doing this or why. There's purpose in everything with God. And if you're willing to hear the voice of God and you're willing to walk by the Spirit of God, you will come to an understanding. And it may not be at that moment, but you will see the end of it. You'll see the purpose of it. Well, I can't see what purpose God's got for me in this. I'm telling you. Amen? Do you remember the gentleman who was sick? I think it was, and I could be wrong, 38 years or whatever it was. Disciples said, hey, who sinned? Him or his parents? Because he's ill. He said, neither. This is for the glory of God. Sometimes if you're going through some things, let God have his way. Just say, Lord, I don't like it, I don't understand it, but I trust you. And I know this is for your glory. I don't get it. I don't understand it. This is for your glory. It's not a path I would have chosen, but it's for your glory. Never doubt there's purpose in everything where God's concerned. Where was I? 3, verse 14, I think is where I want to go. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Who's the Gentiles? We are now adopted. We are now engrafted into the vine. We are now, right, Jews. For good Jews are not ones who are circumcised outwardly, but those who have been circumcised of the heart. So you're a Jew. Amen? You're a Jew. Just accept the fact. Amen? Hallelujah. Look, when the persecution comes on the Jews, it's coming on the Christians at the same time. Not all Christians. Or wait a minute, I want to change that. Rewipe that. Take that off. Not everybody. Because not everybody who calls himself Christian are Christians.
That's right.
Amen? They just go to a church that doesn't happen to be something else. So we have no better name for it except to call it Christian. Christian means Christ-like. Amen? Christ-like, Jesus said, I only do those things that please my Heavenly Father. A true Christian only lives their life to please Him, not to please ourselves. Having a good marriage pleases the Father. Having a good marriage glorifies the Father. You understand? It also benefits you. You understand that, though? The purpose for you to keep peace in the home is because if you don't, your prayers are hindered. Because your Father only comes where two or more agree on any one thing. Oh, yeah. You get to, amen. Amen. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Thank you, Jesus. Now let me take you back. Go with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 26. What time is it? Ooh, I'm not going to have much time here. This could be at least one message in itself. But maybe I can stir you to want to go there. You ready? Genesis 26, verse 1. There was a famine in the land. He said in the last days there's going to be a famine on the earth. Not lack of water, lack of the word of God. Amen? But I want you to leave there for a minute. Go back. There's a famine in the land. That means there was a problem. Nobody was able to grow crops because of a lack of moisture, rain. Amen? Now, before this, there was another famine. This is Isaac he's talking to here. Before this was another famine. And that was a famine during the time of Abraham, his father. Right? Abraham, it says, in his time of famine, went to Egypt. Amen? He went to Egypt. Now, God did not forbid Abraham from going to Egypt. But some things happened down there. Some good, some bad. Number one, Abraham, first thing he did was lie. He said his wife was his sister because he was fearful of being killed. Because in that day, if I liked the looks of that woman, I would have killed her husband and take her. So, anyways, that's another long story. And you ready? As they say, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Isaac did the same thing. Lied the same exact way. Ugh, foolish people. But how many know God still loved them? Abraham, father of faith. Abraham. God looked at Abraham in such, and yet Abraham wasn't perfect. Stop trying to be perfect and let God make you perfect. The more you try, the less success you have. The more you give in to the Spirit, the more success you'll find. Well, that's another whole story. All right, listen to this. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. I just talked about that. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. There the Lord appeared to him and said, now remember now, the Lord appeared to him and said, what is it? We believe it's the Holy Spirit speaking to him. He says appeared to him. It could have been Christ pre-incarnate. We don't know. But I'm leaning more towards the Holy Spirit speaking to him. Maybe in a cloud. Maybe in a fire. Remember? The bush. Fire by night over the Israelites. The fire by night and the cloud by day to cover the Israelites when they walked through that 40 years. That was the Holy Spirit working. Protecting them. Guiding them. I can so easily go off here. The Lord appeared to him and said to Isaac, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I tell you. His father, now you got to understand, Isaac is remembering his father. His father talked to Isaac. His father told Isaac about God, told Isaac about what God did for him. He also told Isaac stories about a famine and he went to Egypt. I'm guaranteeing you did, because that's how all these stories, they pass from son, father to son, pass through the generations. So I am assuming that as soon as the famine was in the land with Isaac, what was his thoughts? I'm heading to Egypt just like my father did. Don't do those things just because that's what you knew to do. It's not always what God wants for you. Well, that's what my parents did, and that's what this one. Remember the story I used to tell you about a woman who cooked a ham, and every time she would cook a ham, she'd cut off the ends of it and then put it in the oven and cook it and then put it in the oven and cook. And she finally, her husband said, why do you do that? Cut off the ends. She said, I don't know. That's what my mother did. So she called her mother, and her mother said, I don't know. That's what Grandma did, so I did it. And she said, okay, call Grandma. Grandma said, I cut off the ends because I didn't have a pot big enough to cook it. Amen? Sometimes we do these things because that's how we grew up. That's the way my father did it. That's the way my grandfather did it. That's what it is. Or that just might be something that you learned yourself to do. And let me put it this way, too. Well, that's the way God did it last time. How many of you know, just because he healed you one way doesn't mean he'll heal you the same way the next time. It doesn't mean he won't heal you. But his way of doing it will do it his way. Why? Because there's purpose in it. There's purpose in it. A lot of people would say to you, well, why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Why did Jesus have to get all that stuff happen to him? Ask the Father. Now, we can intellectualize it. We can understand it. Anybody strikes Jesus, we were healing and had to die and the blood had to be shed and all that. We understand all that intellectually. But couldn't he have done it differently? Little less blood and guts? Come on. Now, we understand the sacrifice and the pain and the suffering that he went through, endured for us. Yeah, we understand all that. But there's things about there that we don't get yet. And if God reveals it to us here, praise God. Or maybe there. But either way, don't fall back onto old ways just because he did it there. That's the way he's going to do it here. You understand? Amen. Listen to what he says here. He said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Has God made a promise to you? Has God made a promise to you that you have not seen fulfilled yet? Well, then don't stop going in the same direction. He said, don't leave the land I promised. He said, listen, I made you a promise. Don't leave the promise. Don't leave the promise. If I gave you a promise, I will fulfill my word. Do not leave the promise. A lot of people say, well, God obviously isn't going to do it. I'm going to have to take things into my own hands. Ah. People do it. Christians do it all the time. Why? He said, through faith and patience we inherit the promise. Through faith and patience. If God said it, he's not a man that he should lie. He will not lie to you and promise you something that he won't perform. Well, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Yeah, and? So you stop waiting, you stop confessing it, you stop believing it. That means when you go back to the beginning again, where you had nothing, and it wasn't doing anything either, isn't it better just stay doing what he tells you to do? Look what he tells you to do. He says, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I'll give to your descendants all these lands, and your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, you do likewise. Jesus said, if you love me, you will. Not that you have to, but you will naturally do all I command you to do. If you love me. God is speaking to Isaac. He said, listen, I made these promises to your father, and I'm just doing it again to remind you, if you continue to do what I tell you to do, do exactly as I instruct you to do, don't vary, don't go this way or don't go that way, do it even if it looks crazy. Do it. I got purpose in it. I have a reason for it. Look what he goes on to say. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. He didn't go down to Egypt. And the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, she is my sister. There we go on to there again. Let's pass over. Now listen there. Verse 8. Now it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked. Oh, wait, excuse me. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. All right. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. How is it possible there's a famine in the land and he's reaping 100-fold? Just because the others aren't getting healed doesn't mean you can't. Just because the others aren't prospering doesn't mean you can't. What is it? What did God instruct in you? What did he tell you to do? Is there something exactly what he told you to do? If you're being led by the Spirit, trust me when I tell you this. When you come into a place where it seems like there's a famine and nothing's changing, the Holy Spirit's trying to get to you. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to show you something. He said, I got a plan for you. There's a reason, and I don't want you to vary from what I tell you to do. You stay right where you're at. You start doing what I tell you to do. Follow the path I'm leading you on. Watch what's coming. There's something waiting for you. Something greater than you ever thought possible. What seems impossible, it's impossible. There's no way. As I was studying this, there's this gentleman, and I'm almost done here. Give me a couple more minutes. And this gentleman did a message on this. Great man. I just enjoyed it. And he said, I went to God about this. How is it possible that he reaped 100-fold here in a place where there's a famine? Now, a famine just, again, lack of moisture, lack of rain. I can equate that to the Holy Spirit. But anyway, I won't go there. Because God is a God, I tell people all the time, he works in the spiritual and the natural. He can do a supernatural work. I remember a story about a guy who planted potatoes. And he was told, don't plant in that place because the ground isn't good enough for potatoes and you're not going to. But God told him to plant potatoes there. He said, I wouldn't do it. Now, this was a big farm. This wasn't just a small plot of land out of his house. It was a farm. And he put everything he had into planting potatoes. And he started planting the potatoes. And everybody around him said, "You're crazy. This true story. You're crazy. You shouldn't do that. You're wasting your money." So what did he do? Planted the potatoes. By the end of the time when it was coming for harvest time, he went out. Now, understand this. When you do the potatoes, you don't go out and dig them up to see if they're still growing. Amen? You don't do that. You leave them. You leave them. And that's what he did. He left them there. He trusted God. He trusted he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it came time for harvest. He went out and he had an abundance like nobody had ever seen in that area of potatoes. There's an overflow. How? That's God's business. How he does things is his business. Just know that if he told you to do it, do what he tells you to do. That's it. So, he was saying how is it possible that there's a famine in the land, which means lack of moisture. There's no rain. It hasn't been raining down here. And yet he's getting a hundredfold return. So he started praying and asked God about this. He said, "I don't understand this." So God led him and he said, "Did you see where Isaac started drilling wells?" And it says he drilled a well here, then he drilled a well there, and he drilled a well over there, and he drilled a well there. And it said the Philistines come and filled him up. He drilled another well. He didn't quit. I mean, you know, every time you start standing with God, somebody's going to come and try to fill up your well so it doesn't produce what it was meant to produce. You keep going. You keep digging another well. But what's the well's got to do with it? Well, he remembers what his father told him, possibly. Because when Abraham went down to Egypt, Egypt had learned, because it's arid land, learned how to do irrigation from the Nile. Now, the Jews didn't know that, but Abraham learned it. He passed that information to his son. His son says, "Well, if it works with the Nile, why won't I be able to irrigate my land with these wells?" See, God isn't always going to do something supernaturally. Sometimes he's going to take the knowledge you've gained over the years of doing this and doing that, and he's going to bring it in to produce what your future needs. So we're not saying forget all that stuff. But what we're saying is what you have learned, what you have gained, let God use it to bring glory to him and bless you. Because that's what the Holy Spirit will do when you follow the Holy Spirit's guidance. There are some things you've done in your past that's going to affect your future in a good way. You don't even know it yet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We praise you and give you glory. Lord, we again ask for guidance from your Holy Spirit, not just here, Father God, but every day of our lives and every aspect of our life. Father, if there's any place in our lives where we have leaned on our own understanding, we have not given it over to you and let you show us, Father God, your will and your ways, we ask for forgiveness. For we truly do want to be led by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, that we are not affected by what's going on around us, whether the economy's up or the economy's down, whether there's fitting battles and wars going on in the public government or whatever it is that's going on. We're not going to be affected by that, Father. We're only affected by what the Spirit of God tells us to say and do. We can be led by your Spirit, Father God. That we may glorify you, Father, and be useful instruments in the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for this. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. All right. Let's take up our offering, and then we'll... I think we got a few announcements.